Welcome to another edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and this is actually the last podcast of 2024, and we'll be heading into 2025 next week. But I am here with a brand new guest. However, you may recognize her last name from her husband, who's been on three different times. But Allison Hurley has graced us with her presence today on the very last episode of 2024. And there's a reason why she's on in 2024 at the end of it, because we're going to talk about something that I think a lot of people will find helpful coming into the new year. So Allison, welcome to the Speakeasy Lounge.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
So you said you brought a drink for us.
I did. So before I get to the drink, I just want to share, I'm a certified nutrition coach. I own Allison Nicole Nutrition LLC. I'm also a probation officer, so I'm here as my role as a nutrition coach. And I brought with my favorite protein drink that I drink every morning that my husband refuses to drink and try. So this is the first time anyone's trying this beverage. So I'm going to have Chris try to guess what's in it. And before you tell me if you like it or not, though, just hold off, and I'll ask you on a scale of 1 to 10 what you think. 10, gotcha. It's amazing. 1, oh, my God, get this out of my mouth right now, okay?
Okay. All right, sounds good. You're going to pour this then for us. You brought it along. And so this is something you make on a daily basis?
Close to daily.
Close to daily, okay. So you said it's kind of like a thick milkshake, and I'll just talk as you pour. And I got some straws. You said it may not work, but I got these straws that are reusable.
I'll just do a little bit in the event that you're not a fan.
Well, it looks like a smoothie.
Oh, yeah.
And I like smoothies.
It's got a little bit of everything in it.
All right. So right now we got what looks to be purple to me. And if I had to look at this and say, this is what flavor I think it is, I think it's wild berry. Oh, that's what I think it is. Okay. But you said that I get to guess this one, so
yes.
We'll see if these straws are thick enough. Because this is like a milkshake, so yes. Yank it. Just yank it as hard as you can. Ooh. There you go. Those are the ones you can clean.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, first of all, cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for being here. And I get the honor of guessing. And Brett, this is for you. Okay. Well, let's see here. I'm getting a hint of caramel. Ooh. There's got to be some sort of protein powder, I assume. You said the protein drink, so there's got to be some protein. And I'm going off of, it tastes like caramel. Am I wrong?
Oh, okay. So what's in this protein beverage, it's a Fairlife nutrition plan drink, which they're chocolate flavored.
Okay.
30 grams of protein in that, no protein powder. I'm okay with protein powder, but this seems to be like the best flavor that I enjoy.
Sure.
I also have a serving of carrots.
Really?
A serving of cherries. You can use any fruit. Again, I just prefer the cherries and chocolate. I was going to do peanut butter. Sometimes I do that. I opted not for that. And then also cottage cheese.
So all those things I would never put into a drink together, but it tastes like caramel to me. And so it's chocolate, though?
Yes. Mm. Yes. So overall, it's like about 300 calories, 40 grams of protein.
That's pretty good.
I use this as my, well, I call it my first breakfast, because I usually have my first breakfast after I work out, and then later around 9 or 10, I'll have a second breakfast. But this is kind of the precursor. Gives me my fruit and veggies to start off the day, so I have one less serving of those to worry about.
So you mix this all up just by yourself in your kitchen?
Yeah.
In a blender?
In a blender. A very loud blender, according to my husband.
I know.
So I try to wait until he leaves for work to do it, but yeah.
Okay, so it's chocolate protein, is that correct?
Yep.
It's carrots, cherries, and what was the last thing, cottage cheese?
Cottage cheese. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot another thing too. Sugar-free chocolate pudding mix. So I put about a tablespoon of that.
That's what it tastes like, pudding.
Yes, so it helps rich up the flavor a little bit, the chocolate flavor. I also use a little bit of xanthan gum in it, and xanthan gum is just an additive. You can buy it in the baking section. That kind of, you don't need it, it's not necessary, but what it does is it makes it blow up a little bit and thicker.
Sure.
It kind of gives it like a Dairy Queen milkshake consistency, more than just like a icy
Well, I don't think it's that bad, Brett. So you might want to give her a whirl. He's never had it.
He will never try it. Every time I make it, I'm just like, so good. And he will not even touch it.
does he just look at the ingredients and go, no? Is that what his problem is? Okay, yeah. I was going to say, if he hadn't tasted it, it just tastes like, I think caramel, that's just that's mine, but it gets you a lot of things in it. It gets you your dairy, it gets you your vegetables, it gets you some fruit, and then obviously protein. You said there's 40 grams in what, like a 16-ounce? Or?
So the Nutrition Plan Fairlife protein shakes have 30 grams of protein in and of itself, but like the cottage cheese and the other stuff adds another 10 roughly.
Okay.
So it varies between 30 to 40 if you add peanut butter powder. So you have a lot of wiggle room with it, but it just creates a really good base.
I think
the cottage
bad.
Cheese is the problem for him, which, you know, you can leave that out. It's not necessary in it, but
sure. Well, you know, I want to go back because people know Brett from the podcast, assuming they listen weekly. And you guys had met around this time back, what was it, like 7 years ago?
8 years ago.
8 years ago. So yeah. I was pretty close. And I think it's kind of a fun story before we get into the nutrition thing.
Okay.
You want to talk about how you met him? Because I know where we were sitting when he was first starting to talk to you. We were at the Winona Sandwich Company.
Yes. So my husband and I both worked in Houston County at the time, but we had never met each other. So I was a probation officer there, he's a police officer there. And I'd worked there for a couple years. We ended up knowing mutual people. So we have a mutual friend who is now in Florida, retired to Florida, but at the time he was living in Houston. And it was around maybe this time last year, I'd added Brett to Facebook because I was single and I was like, oh, is this cute boy? And I also was like, how do I not know who he is? He works in Houston. Anyway, so we were talking a little bit online, and then some friends of ours were getting married down in the Dominican. And I knew them from Houston County, but I wasn't good friends with them. And he had been invited on this trip. And anyway, they couldn't find anyone. They had friends that were canceled. They didn't have insurance on their trip. So they were trying to find somebody who had a passport, and they knew no one who had a passport. But then Brett's chief at the time was like, hey, aren't you talking to someone? And so anyway, he ended up inviting me. Mind you, this was, I think it was December 30th. It was a few days before they were set to take off, because they were leaving like that Sunday.
Yep.
And he asked me on like a Thursday, and I had to make my decision by Friday morning. So all I kept thinking was like, okay, it's essentially almost a free trip because I just had to pay the transfer fee. I can probably deal with this a little bit. I know who I'm going with. Like, I should be okay. So at first I was like, this is insane. But then I told Brett, I said, okay, I'll go, just agree to like eat meals with me. So I decided to go, and I had my own room because this was another couple that canceled. So I had my own accommodations, all the things, but I also had to fly out by myself in Chicago. And they had flown out like a Sunday, and I was flying in a Tuesday, which, if you've ever been to the Dominican airport, it's wild.
Really?
Like, I always say to Brett, if I would have known how just crazy that airport was, I don't think I would have said yes, because I was traveling by myself. Because you get off on the tarmac, and then you take this like bus that's really shaky, and then, you know, I'm by myself.
Sure.
I don't know where. I had to ask the couple that was with me in the van, like, is this the right van? Like, I don't even know if I'm going to the right place. Anyway, so it was a lot of fun. And prior to, so it was New Year's Eve, I had told him, like, okay, I'll go, but I need to like meet you. Like, I can go with somebody who's a stranger, but not like a, like, just a kind of stranger. Like, I have to meet you first.
Sure.
So he had to work, of course, the whole weekend, but I ended up meeting him at our mutual friend Kurt's house, and we did a ride-along. That was kind of like our first date, so to speak, for about 4 hours. So, yeah, after that, then I flew to the Dominican by myself, and my cell phone didn't work the whole time, so thankfully he was waiting in the lobby for me. Otherwise, I don't know how I would have found him, just yelled his name around the resort. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it turned out, of course, really, really well. And
yeah.
We're married.
Was that first time you guys met, was it kind of awkward or not really at all, because you're just kind of mutually on a ride along?
Honestly, so I'll never forget, like, we always talk about like that first time we saw each other moment, and I'll never forget, like, he was sitting on Kurt's couch and I walk in, and he's just like, like, he was he looked so cute in his coat, and he had his hat on, and he was just like, kind of, we were just so awkward, right? Because we hadn't met each other. But yeah, it was fun. It was a really good time. We had a we talked the entire time. I remember in the Dominican, like we were just nonstop talking about everything.
Sure.
So it wasn't that awkward, actually.
Well, you probably had a lot to talk about because you didn't know each other.
Yes,
sometimes
exactly.
That's the easiest way to do these podcasts when I don't know someone. Because like when I did the one with my dad, I'm like, well, what am I going to ask you? I know everything about you, so I got to ask these kind of questions. But you don't know someone, now all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about because I don't know you and you don't know me. So,
yeah.
Well, that's cool then.
Yeah.
So,
well, and it's so funny too. Like we worked 2 years in the same county and never crossed paths. But now that like it makes sense because I was probation. I worked during the day. His chief worked during the day. He was night shift. So I never encountered him.
Sure.
Ever.
Yeah. But, well, and you guys, you knew that when you went down there, you're around some good people. So if it didn't work out well, like at least I kind of know some people and nothing bad's going to happen.
Yeah. I remember my roommate being like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, why not? It's if anything, I had a free, dang near free trip to an all-inclusive resort down in the Dominican, like no big deal, but it turned out really well.
And I remember him and I were at the sandwich company having lunch one day, and he's like, I'm talking to this girl named Allison, and she's got to make a decision by like tomorrow if she's going to go or not. And I know it was Thursday because it's turkey and cheddar day at the sandwich company, and I like that day, and so does Brett. So I knew where we were at that time. So now everything's hunky-dory. You guys have been married for, what are we going on now?
A little over three years.
Yeah, a little over three, so four would be coming up in September.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So all things worked out well.
Yes. Oh,
and
man.
So now you said that you're a probation officer, but now you're getting into the nutrition aspect of life and you have your own business.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it called?
It's Allison Nicole Nutrition LLC.
Okay. So specifically, what does that mean? Or what do you do specifically?
Yeah. So I work with primarily women who have a long history of dieting one-on-one to provide nutrition coaching support. So what that looks like is really working with them to reduce food rules that a lot of times we tend to have, and just simplifying nutrition and helping them build healthier habits in a sustainable way that they can, you know, continue beyond nutrition coaching.
Okay. What is give us one food rule that's out there. Because I know there's many of them.
Yeah. Don't eat candy.
Okay.
No sweets. Yeah. No carbs.
No
carbs. I could go on for
sure. See, I tell kids this all the time. I go, you know, I have to teach health at school too. And I go, you can eat things in moderation. You just can't sit there and have it day after day after day, a whole bunch. So that's one of those food rules is no candy?
Yes.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. I don't subscribe to that food rule anymore. That's for sure. But yeah, that's a big one. And also like this idea of labeling foods as good or bad or healthy or not healthy or clean or not clean. Like, because those things can really like enable a really unhealthy mindset around food and create a lot of shame or guilt if we eat something or anxiety around like Christmas time or just events that happen. So
what's your favorite candy?
Sour Patch Kids for sure.
It's my wife's too. She loves Sour Patch Kids Sour Straws.
Yes.
One of the two. I like M&M's. That's my go-to. M&M's.
Yeah. Not a chocolate person. Definitely sour, sweet, pure sugar.
Sure.
Anything. Skittles. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're all sugar, all sweet. Got it.
Yes, 100%.
So then how did you decide, hey, you know what? First of all, how long have you been doing it for?
Got my certification in nutrition coaching 2022, officially launched my business in 2023.
Okay. So then how did you decide that I want to do this? Where does it stem from?
Long version or short version? Or
well, we got it like an hour, hour and 10 minutes. So you tell me.
I'll give the medium version.
The medium.
So I myself had dealt with just a lot of food rules and dieting, like all of the diet culture stuff for about a decade of my life.
Sure.
Always trying to be as small as I possibly could, doing really unhealthy things, created a lot of shame around food, created an eating disorder, binge eating. So it was just, that was all going on, that kind of perfect storm, so to speak. And then, I had ran a marathon. I know you've also ran one.
Yeah.
And that was in 2019. And if I were being honest with myself at the time, it was to lose weight, which, like, everybody knows you probably gain weight when you're running a marathon, but I thought it was going to be an anomaly. I was not. So anyway, flash forward to 2020. We had a lot of time on our hands. I was working from home, and I kind of just had this epiphany of, like, what if I just started putting more effort into liking who I was now and not trying to constantly be the smallest person I could be. And that was really transformative for me. It was like 3 months of refusing to weigh myself, like eating whatever the heck I wanted. Like just, it was probably one of the best times in my life because I just was really focusing on my mental health and not looking a certain way. So while that was happening, I also was really struggling in my work with probation. I was really burnt out at that time. I'd been doing it for a decade. And I was really trying to figure out the skills that I have in probation. How can I take those and use them in a different space that I care more about? And it kind of just all worked out. I had never heard of nutrition coaching before. I've always kind of wanted to be a personal trainer. And so when I started researching that, I stumbled upon nutrition coaching and learned about what that even was. So in 2022, that's when I got certified as a nutrition coach through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. And that was really fun because there were a lot of parallels between the two in terms of behavior change techniques that use with probation and with coaching. So that's kind of what helped me fuel getting into this space.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that there would be parallels between probation and this. Mm-hmm. So you said there was, what was it? You said something about behaviors?
Yep. Behavior change. Yeah. So
what's a parallel that you found out?
Oh gosh. a lot of it. So
okay.
A misconception with what we do in probation is that we kind of just what's the term?
Babysit?
Well, babysit. You know, nail them or jail them is kind of the joke. Like, that's old probation techniques. But really, probation has shifted into using more evidence-based practices, which are behavior change techniques. So things like motivational interviewing, which is essentially a way to work with a client to figure out where their motivation lies, developing discrepancies like you want this, but on the other hand, you're doing this. And it's really coming alongside that individual to help them make changes. So some other parallels between the two in probation, we do a lot of cognitive behavioral interventions. And that's a really fancy term for essentially just working on our thoughts, because our thoughts control our behavior and our feelings, and we can make different decisions if we just identify different thinking patterns, like negative thinking patterns. Yeah. So honestly, like, there's so many parallels between the two. Maybe one has higher stakes, right? When you're talking about someone on probation,
sure.
Lose their freedom. But for others, their nutrition is very serious to them and their health is really important. So those two, it's incredible how similar they are, and you use the same coaching techniques between the two.
Well, that now that you say that, that makes a ton of sense, because at first I was like, oh, how does that parallel? But you're right, because of the fact of how you're thinking about things. Yeah. So then what did you find out as you're doing this? What kind of thinking were you having then? I'm assuming you had to eventually like kind of do almost like a self-evaluation of yourself at to start with.
Yeah, for sure. So I know with myself, I had a lot of all or nothing thinking, and we all have a lot of all or nothing. Like once we know what that means, you know, there's a lot of like, I screwed up today, I'll start tomorrow. Or, oops, I ate one cookie today, I might as well eat 10 so they're not in the house anymore, so then I can start over tomorrow.
Sure.
Like, that's all or nothing thinking. Yeah. So I had a lot of all or nothing thinking. Just negative thinking patterns in general, right? And that's what's really fascinating about like cognitive behavioral interventions that you use when you start actually like paying attention to what you're thinking and how it's making you feel and how you can change your thinking and subscribe to different behaviors. But all or nothing thinking was a major one. And that was something that even popped up like 6 months ago that I had to realize I was doing again. So gaining awareness of those thoughts is really important in mindset.
Mm-hmm. Where does alcohol stand on the aspect of nutrition coaching? Because we're on the Brews and Cruise podcast. Yeah. Granted, we're having a protein shake is what I would consider it, but where does alcohol stand on it then?
Well, obviously no amount of alcohol
is
good for you.
Is there something that's healthier?
There's no healthier maybe alcohol out there. I hate to break it to you, but again, with nutrition coaching, it's also understanding your relationship to alcohol too, right?
Okay.
And where you want it to fit into your life. Is it something is it something that's important enough for you where we can kind of incorporate it in a way that you're okay with? Or, you know, like for me, for instance, I would drink mainly, like in my mid-20s, I was really drinking to curb a lot of anxiety I had. So once I realized that I was using that for that, that it changed my relationship with alcohol, because then I started realizing, well, I need to develop the skills around my anxiety and not use it to cope. So
okay.
I think for each person, it kind of differs mm-hmm. in what their relationship is with it and how they want it to fit into their life.
Gotcha. But, so now you're into it a little bit over a year or a year-ish? About where you're at?
Yep. November of 2023 was when I officially kicked off.
So. Okay. So mm-hmm. yeah, just over a year then. Mm-hmm. How have you been acquiring clients then?
Word of mouth,
okay.
Facebook, just trying to get myself out there a lot, which yep. that's a whole other piece. I'm never done a business thing before. So yeah. Realizing how much social media is involved in it is
yep.
A learning curve, like a big
tough.
Learning curve. It is tough.
Yeah.
So that's typically how I've been acquiring clients, and yeah, mainly word of mouth.
Okay. Now is your husband, is he part of doing this with you? Does he? No, he
no,
does his own thing?
No.
Oh man. Come on, break it. Get on board, man.
He's got to drink the shake, you know, and he's not going to drink the shake. No, I'm just kidding.
This is the initiation portion.
It's the initiation. Mm-hmm.
So you have to realize the difference is relationship between food and yourself, basically, because
yeah.
now what you're doing is you're trying to help people on the nutrition aspect. You're not doing anything with like the physical fitness, are you?
No. So, I can, but I can't prescribe workouts, so to speak. So if
okay.
someone is working with me as a nutrition client and they want to create a goal around their movement, 100%, I can do that. But I can't like write out a workout for them.
Gotcha.
That's where the difference
okay.
is.
Mm-hmm. So then you say that you've done a marathon, and mm-hmm. I know you guys have done half marathons mm-hmm. and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you now found out, since you've been doing your own nutrition planning and stuff like that, has it been easier to run marathons or anything? Because I'm assuming you're eating better than you probably did prior to starting
yeah.
your business. So,
mm-hmm.
so you see that then in your,
yeah.
in your body?
For sure.
A lot easier.
Well, and fueling my body in a way that it needs, right? Like
mm-hmm.
I was always trying to eat as little as possible when I was running. Because like a lot of people, when they start running, your body isn't adapted to it yet. So you lose a lot of weight.
Yep.
And I did. And then I gained a lot of it back because
yep.
I was hungry, because you get super hungry when you run. But this most recent half marathon that we did last year, was it? Yeah, last year, was the first one I had done since I started actually fueling my body in a way that it should be. And it was great. It was fabulous. So it was very exciting. Yeah, because those other ones, you don't realize what you're doing wrong until you're doing something right.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And okay. So then when you have, do you know how many clients you have specifically right now at the time? Do you have a bunch of them?
I have a handful. So
okay.
I have a full-time job, right? I'm
yep.
still in probation. I'm really working on I don't want to overwhelm myself, because I want to make sure I'm giving the best service I can
oh, sure.
to each individual. So I really cap myself at about 5 clients at any given time.
Okay.
Anything above that, at this time, I'm feeling things out. I want to make sure that I'm still able to give each of them what they can, because they have unlimited messaging with me and weekly check-ins. And we do a call once a month, a video call, personal video call once a month. So there's a lot of interaction that can happen. Some folks use that more than others. But ultimately, if I had 10 or 15 people constantly texting me, then I don't know. Yeah. And plus my day job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I don't want to reduce the service I offer by growing too fast. If
right.
that makes
yep.
sense.
No, I get mm-hmm. that, because you got to give the best service you can. Otherwise, you're just giving out mediocre service
yeah.
and stuff. Now, are you writing out nutrition plans for them, like an eating plan at all?
I don't. So we'll talk about part of this. The beginning of nutrition coaching is kind of figuring out, mapping out what their current nutrition looks like,
sure.
and then creating a plan from there. And the reason I don't do a formal eating plan is because, well, they might not like that way to eat, right? Or like they might not like certain things that are in the meal plan. And really, it's about adapting it to what works for them and their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Like just like this thing, right? This is great for me, but I don't know if I could get everyone to have a cottage cheese protein shake.
It doesn't sound great when you put it that way.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, folks, if you didn't know what was in it, I'm actually about to ask you for more, because I'm almost done.
Well, that's almost full, so feel free.
I will feel free, because I don't think it's that bad. Now, had you showed me the ingredients, I'm not a big cottage cheese person, so mm-hmm. had you showed me the ingredients, I may have been like, I don't know, but I didn't know what was in it before, so I think it's great.
Twist the top. I don't know.
Oh, twist the top. Oh, yeah. Okay, so now I know that you and your husband have date nights on Fridays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are at McDonald's, is that correct, sometimes?
Yep.
Okay, so how does that fall into that? Is that like your one cheat day, as they consider it? Is that like a cheat day for you guys?
No, so I really subscribe to the belief that all foods can fit within a healthy diet, right?
Yep.
Now, when I go out to eat with my husband, and this is actually important. I'm glad you brought this up, because with nutrition coaching, we talk a lot about nutrition periodization. And what is that? That is periods of less calories, so losing weight, periods of maintaining your calories, so you're staying the same, or periods of a calorie surplus in which you want to gain weight or gain muscle. So what's really great about nutrition coaching is that you can learn to incorporate something like McDonald's and a date night into any one of those, like calorie surplus, calorie deficit, maintenance, simply by learning enough about nutrition to understand how you can make the calories fit.
Okay.
I typically get a happy meal.
All right, you get the toy too.
Extra fries. I'll get a happy meal with extra fries and typically chicken McNuggets because they have a good amount of protein. But again, like, healthy is your overall diet. It's not just one meal, right?
Mm,
so
right.
Throughout the day, I'm eating my fruits and my vegetables and getting all those good micronutrients and fiber in. So having that one meal a week isn't going to completely throw everything off. People can be kind of scared of fast food a little bit.
Right.
But it's really not necessary. But it's also something that people have to show and prove to themselves that they can make those choices. And honestly, even if I wanted a Big Mac and a large fry, I could make that work too, because our calories, it's not just a day that matters. It's kind of throughout the whole week to look at.
Right.
Also.
Okay. So you'd look at a whole week, mm-hmm. like almost like a week at a glance.
Mm-hmm.
And then are you planning out your meals? I guess specifically for you, are you planning out, this is what I'm going to have on Monday, maybe three meals, or I don't know how you do mm-hmm. it, but and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Is that what you're doing then? Okay.
Yeah. So I like data and I'm very type A.
Okay.
So I enjoy personally calorie counting. Not everybody does.
Sure.
Not everybody who I coach has to. There are multiple different ways to do that, but I personally enjoy that. So I do. So I have an idea. But there are also ways with portion sizing, you know, because having awareness is key, right? So we might do that as part of nutrition coaching for a little bit, just to have an idea of kind of like where you're at or what you're eating or how we can make it fit to get an idea. But I do all the time just to make sure I'm hitting my protein or have my fiber. And
some people are into stats. People are into it.
I do. I love it.
Is there one meal that you just absolutely love having? That is like your absolute favorite one that you make throughout the week? Because mine's hibachi, and everyone that listens to this knows Stephanie makes fantastic hibachi. Mm-hmm. Take me to Benihana's or any of the Shogun, any of those ones that make in front of you. I can eat until I'm blue in the face. So I don't know if there's one that's for you that you're like, this is just the go-to. I love it.
The shake, not going to lie.
Really?
I really enjoy it. But again, it's not my meal. It's like my pre-breakfast.
Sure.
I really enjoy that. Brett and I follow Zach Cohen on Instagram, and he is the owner of Affordable Meal Prep, so we eat a lot of his meals, and everything he has is really, really good. So that's another way, too, if you're looking to find a good, like, good meals to make that are affordable and have, like, a good macronutrient ratio, protein, carbs, fat, all the good stuff, he's a good one to follow. So everything he makes is really, really good. I can't think of anything that stands out particular.
So you guys get meals like those pre
no they're not pre meals, they're just recipes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he has some good ones, like he's got a tater tot salsa con queso casserole, so it's got ground beef and tater tots,
sure,
and literally a jar of salsa con queso, a great value salsa con queso, and it's so good. But he's a registered dietitian, like he's I really like his stuff, and he has a good combination of eating what you want with getting what you need.
Sure. So. Did you find it hard at first to kind of be more disciplined in your eating, or was it, did it come pretty natural to you?
Because
I like convenience. I'm a convenience person.
Yeah, I think where it becomes hard is people try to be perfect right away. Mm. You know, like they...
Sure.
So for me, I think when I was like in the throes of my really needing to be perfect with my eating and my eating disorder, like it didn't come natural simply because I was way too hardcore about it, quite frankly. But then when I dropped all my food rules and I was able to kind of include everything and see everything as included in a healthy diet, that made it a lot easier.
Okay.
Like when you stop restricting, it's really incredible because everybody thinks if they allow themselves to have candy or if they allow themselves to have treats that they're just going to indulge forever and that's mm-hmm. the end. Yeah. And that's not true. Like eventually you're going to get sick of it and your body's going to neutralize what it is, and you'll crave that healthier food because you feel better.
Well, so. I know that too, because just a couple days ago, when we had our final day of school before Christmas break, everyone had candy and stuff, and I could mm-hmm. just tell I had too much of it, and it wasn't even that much. I'm just like, oh, I just feel like just like a pit mm-hmm. in my stomach, and I was like, gosh, I don't know how kids can do this, but I yeah. know that I used to do it when I was younger too, because Brett and I used to have junk food galore at his parents' house, so I already know that it was sugar. I prefer salty things more than sugary mm-hmm. things because I get a stomach ache. So that was one thing that was pretty easy for me. I don't have to really worry about having too much like cake or cupcakes because I'm like, that just doesn't sound good. Yeah. But then again, you throw some hibachi in front of me, I'm going to eat that until I'm mm-hmm. blue in the face if it's possible.
Yeah.
Now I'm tasting like the gum portion in here now. It almost tastes
really?
Like... Yeah, it's almost like I like original bubble gum, and it's starting to taste like that for me now.
Ooh,
not so much caramel anymore. I'm almost like tastes like original bubble gum, and I love original bubble gum. It isn't that bad, Brett. I can tell that there's carrots in it, but only because of the texture.
Yeah,
not the taste.
Which side note, I usually check for pits in the cherries before I blend them because
what's that mean?
Like the seed.
Oh, the seed. Because
I buy them pitted, but. Sometimes they miss a few, and I didn't do that this time. So if you get chunks in there, that's just the seed because I forgot to check them.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Oops. I don't know. I like this.
But
I don't think it's that bad, to be honest with you. I have protein shakes, and I always just mix them with water, shake them up, and chug them because I'm not big into it. But this thing I could sip on for a little while like we have been, and I think it's actually pretty darn good.
Yeah. Well, and kind of on that same token, too, with treats and that sort of stuff, like, we'll also talk about nutrition coaching, kind of having what you want with what you need. Like one of the things I started doing when I was kind of making this shift of incorporating everything was buying like individual items, not like say a bag of chips.
Yep.
I'm not going to buy a big bag of chips because I know that I'm going to open it. I'm going to have 4 servings and it's not going to be good, right? It's just not aligned with my goals. But if I buy the individual bags of chips,
sure,
it's highly unlikely I'm not going to eat 4 bags of those, 5 bags of those, right? But it's really easy to eat a whole bag while you're sitting there. So
I know.
Yes. So taking a small bag of chips with like some string cheese or some hard-boiled eggs or just something to kind of give it some sustenance, keep you full. So we talk about like the strategies you can use too.
One that I remember people saying is mentally when you, like, let's just say you have a plate of food, once you're done, mentally your mind says, hey, I'm done. Mm-hmm. And you don't just keep adding more. Mm-hmm. And then another thing I've always heard is if you eat slower, it's better because it takes like 20 minutes for your mind to catch up to your stomach and tell you that you're full.
Yeah.
So I don't know if those are some things that have worked out or mm-hmm. you've talked to people about, but that's one thing I do know is if I eat very slow or if I have a salad beforehand, I won't eat as much after that because I'm already kind of getting full by the time that comes.
Yep.
Texas Roadhouse being one of those places.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Eating slow, putting your fork down, chewing your food, like fully chewing your food. We should almost be, I heard somewhere like we should be chewing our food to the point it's almost like liquid in our mouth, which kind of sounds gross, but
it does.
We tend to not do that. Like we tend to just inhale our food. So yes, 100%. If you're chewing, chew your food thoroughly, put your fork down, take a breath, then keep eating.
Sure.
If you start with, you know, vegetables and protein first and kind of make your way around the plate, like, not that there's anything wrong with carbs, but protein, you want to make sure you get protein, but then also the fiber and micronutrients in the vegetables or fruit or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And then waiting on those like the dinner rolls or whatever can be helpful too.
Those are the best things. Those are the best things at Texas Roadhouse. Those dinner rolls.
Yes.
Those are the best.
Or you can make a sandwich with the meat and the dinner roll. But
sure.
Yeah, slowing down is a big one for sure. And honoring our hunger cues too. Like a lot of us are so used to, we inhale everything. We're not paying attention to our hunger and fullness cues. And now I'm at like a 9 and I feel like I'm going to get sick because I just inhaled my food and wasn't thinking.
Gotcha.
So really tuning in to kind of where we're at, stopping when we're comfortably full, not eating when we're raging hungry too, because then we're just inhaling everything. It's too hard. So learning kind of how to do those things too, is important.
I heard you're not supposed to grocery shop when you're hungry either.
No, that's not good.
I know. I've done that before. I'm like, oh, man, cart's just plumb full of junk.
Yeah.
And I won't even probably eat it.
Yeah.
So then you said that you do, with your nutrition coaching, you actually have, like, calls with your group of mm-hmm. people that you have. Is it, like, a Zoom call or is it a phone call or how's it go?
It's a video call. Yep. Video. I was using Zoom. I'm switching to Google Meets. We'll see how that works.
I like that better, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an online call, and it's just one-on-one as well. So we'll kind of, in nutrition coaching, the client's always driving the bus, so to speak, too. So whatever they want to work on, a lot of times those calls tend to be focused on if they have an event or something coming up that they're maybe nervous about, or, you know, we want to work through how to make a plan for them of what that looks like. And they're about 45 minutes to an hour long.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you have one set up every day of the week almost for someone? Or do they just tell you, hey, this is my days of availability? And then
I use Calendly so they can just go on and see my availability and book it themselves. Yeah, it's
that's
slick.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's slick. So that's what I use for them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have guys, girls, both? Or is it?
Primarily work with women.
Okay.
Yep.
So then when working with women, have you found anything to be similar the way that the women are with the way you first started? Do you find anything very similar to the way that they're starting? You're like, hey, I remember going through this and here's what I did to cure that. Yeah. Those are things that you've accomplished or you've come across, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of similarities, and I often try to put myself in their shoes of, like, when I was in that headspace, I don't know if I would have listened to anybody else, right? But I'm also not necessarily there to use my experience in a way that persuades them to do something different. It's more about coaching them to see that what they're doing may not be what's best for them.
Okay.
Does it always work? No, right? But it's... sometimes coaching is also just about planting that seed.
Okay.
You know, but there are a lot of similarities.
Okay. You know? Has there been one story that's just been stands out to you? Someone told you this success story and you're like, oh, that's awesome. I feel so great for you. And it just makes you feel accomplished too. Has there anyone come across with a story? You don't have to, obviously don't say their names.
Yeah. Of a client of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say each person that I've worked with had made like significant progress. Like it was really, really cool. All of them had started to reduce those food rules and, you know, eat mindfully and incorporate everything. Like that was really neat to see. But one in particular, I just remember her sharing about when she first started, and this, I could relate to this, where when you restrict for so long and you're in a space like Christmas or Easter or holiday where you're around food, like you'll just gorge yourself because you're under eating and you're also restricting. And she would be going to bed like at night not feeling well. And through our coaching process, it got to a point where she wasn't doing that anymore. And she was able to incorporate those foods throughout her day and was eating very mindfully. Like it was just such a shift in her mindset around food. And that was really cool to see. So one thing about nutrition coaching is there's a misconception that it's all about weight loss. And 9 times out of 10, people are coming to me for weight loss. And that makes sense. We live in a culture that that is very highly desired, highly sought after. But with nutrition coaching, really the first step is working through your mindset and reducing your food rules and improving your relationship to food. And then it's getting your nutrition to a space where all you have to do is eat a little less or eat a little more. Like we should never be in a place where if I want to lose weight, I need to cut out half of what I'm eating. We should be in a place where I just I eat just a smaller portion of what I'm already eating. So that's really what it's building up to, and then it's moving into a deficit if they want to do a deficit.
Okay, very good. So then how long, so do you pay monthly then to do this? Does a client pay monthly
so
for services?
There are monthly options, or if you pay in full, there's a discounted price, but I have 4, 6, and 12-month packages available.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And then how could they find you if they wanted to find you?
My Instagram. Thank you.
IG?
My IG is Allison Coaches. It's Allison Coaches on Facebook as well. And my website is AllisonCoaches.com.
Very
good. Allison with a Y, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N. but yeah, I have those three platforms.
Yeah, and you'll also see in the show notes if you're listening. You can go down on the bottom and you can click on her website and you'll be able to go right to it as well. So now I want to go on to some other things because this is just a part of your life. You and your husband travel places to go run half marathons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where was, you guys just went to, where, Utah recently?
We were in Utah, Zion. We did not run a race in Zion.
You did not? It was just for vacation
strictly
that time.
Just for vacation,
okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how was that travel there? Because it looked, I feel like that'd be a really beautiful place to go to.
Oh, my gosh. Zion National Park was hands down probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It was amazing. We did Angel's Landing, and if you don't know what Angel's Landing is, look it up. It's slightly terrifying.
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is.
What is
so
it?
It's a hike up to, I want to say it's 5 miles round trip. The last half mile is permitted now, so you can't just go and do it. You have to get a permit at the National Park Service. Ranger station or whatever, but it's a lottery system too, so you may or may not get it. But it's one of the most dangerous hikes in America because you have one chain that you can hold on to, and then it's 500 to 1,000 foot drop on both sides.
Oh, wow.
All the way up to it. So we just went up to that point where you need to be permitted. That was enough for me. I was good. When we were going up it, we had talked about, you kind of start to feel like really excited. So I'm like, maybe we should try to get a permit for this. Like, yeah, we could totally do this. And then the next day, Brett and I went on this smaller hike that required him to use a rope to kind of like, swing around this rock and you could fall, but it was only 10 feet and it was only into water, so relatively safe.
Oh, okay.
And I started walking and I was sweating everywhere. And I'm like, nope, can't do it. And he's like, I don't think you could have done Angel's Landing. I'm like, oh, no, probably not.
Well, was there something specific on Angel's Landing that you'd have to do then? Said this was like a rope swinging around. If you fell.
There's no rope swing on Angel's Landing,
okay.
But it's just. There's just one chain link fence and a small little path to get to like the tip of where it's a beautiful overlook. But then you have traffic, you have foot traffic going up and going down at the same time.
Oh,
so it's
sure.
just super dangerous. People have fallen and died.
Okay.
And it's maybe I'll do it one day, but not that day, not that trip.
Sure.
But yeah, it was Utah is absolutely beautiful. We
want
to go back.
That's one place I've only been to like when I was 7 and I was with my grandparents and we looked at the Salt Lake and it was pretty nasty. They said, this isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
They go, we're not going to let you swim here because it looks pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
So did not do that one. And
no.
So now you said you run a marathon. Which one did you, or how many have you run?
Just one.
Full. Okay,
just
which one?
Full, one full. It was one down in Iowa. It was called Run for Your Troops. I think it was Dubuque,
okay.
For the troops.
Sure.
It was a over 100 degree day in Iowa and humid. Had it not been that, it would have been a really nice race because it was all flat. It was on a really nice like paved trail.
Sure.
But yeah, that was my first one and it was awful. But I will do one again.
All right.
It can only get better from one my first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was Brett's first half too, and it was like pacers were falling. Like being done with the race because it was so hot. It was miserable.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he ran his first half one then?
Mm-hmm.
So when he was done, you just keep going for the next 13,
man.
And you're like, and what does he do? Just kind of wait
he
for you?
He hung out. Well, and he was done. So about if you've ran a race before, there can be a lot of things that go wrong.
Yeah.
Every single thing
death
that could have gone wrong, with the exception of anything very serious happened. Like, my 6 mile mark, I didn't really feel good. And then by the time I got to 13 miles, I couldn't really run. Like my knees hurt super bad. By mile oh gosh, I don't know. When I had 8 miles left, I couldn't even run anymore. Like, my knees hurt so bad. So then I figured out I could walk a 15-minute mile. So then I started hauling, walking super fast. And then my phone died. So for the last 2 hours of this full marathon, I have no music. I'm by myself. I joke that I cried like 8 times, but I did because it was horrible. And with my phone dying, I couldn't text Brett. So I was just like, this is literal hell. And it was super hot. So it was just miserable. But I made it.
You
ran
made
the
it.
Last, ran the last
what,
little bit.
Do you remember your time at all?
I know it was around 6 hours.
Okay.
Too long to be running.
Well, in 100 degrees, you said?
Oh, my gosh. It was awful.
You probably couldn't even cry tears. You probably were too dehydrated to cry
tears. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was not good. But, you know, I can only get better.
Right.
There. Maybe I'll cry like 5 times at my next one or something.
Well, the one that I did was the Des Moines one back in 2011, and it's in like October, so it was like 50-some degrees. Now, I didn't have any music because I was told I wasn't supposed to have any music.
Oh, really?
It said on there like... Well, I guess it could have been only if you wanted to qualify for something, which I wasn't trying to, but it said you weren't supposed to have music, so I didn't.
Yeah.
So for 5 hours, I'm like, this is kind of boring, but it was cool because I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. So as you're running, I always tell people, it was like, there was bands, there's people watching you, like a parade cheering you on. There's little stations you stop at to get some water or some goo. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be, but mile 8 was my worst one too. Or not mile 8, I'm sorry. When I had 8 miles left, that was where everything set in. And I go, I am still like 2 times plus around the lake yet to go, and my plantar fasciitis hurts so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know how you feel, so I had to, like, hobble and drag my right foot, and then I got to, like, the last strip, and I could see the time, and I saw, like, I think it was, like, 4 hours and 56 minutes. I'm like, I can get this in under 5 hours. I just have to run, and I did. And the next week after, I couldn't hardly walk.
Yeah.
It was bad, but I can only say I did one, and I don't know if I'll ever do one again, and you said you're going to.
Someday.
Someday.
I don't have plans. But I know, like, the first, I remember training for it was so, it was the best because every single week I was running the farthest I've ever ran in my entire
life.
That's
true to think about.
So it was like, I was just like on a runner's high every single weekend. Yep. But then I look back on it now and I was also getting injured a lot. Hello, needed more food. Like, that will help with not getting injured, is eating enough. So I would love, I am really excited to try another one and actually like be fueling my body. Cause at that time I was working, oh man, it was a wild time. I'm thankful I got slowed down a little bit, but cause I was running, training for a half marathon. So I was running, I don't know, 20, 30 miles a week, going to burn boot camp, doing boot camp 4 days a week.
Wow.
Trying to eat 1600 calories a day. Absolutely.
Trying to? That's easy.
Trying to.
That's easy.
That's not a lot.
I know.
Yeah. And then also, I remember there was a running coach that I had talked to because she was also going to burn boot camp. And she like told me, hey, just a heads up on your long run days, you're probably going to need about, you know, 2,400 extra calories. And in my head, extra. Yeah. Because it's a lot of, you're burning a lot of fuel. And I remember being like, oh, yeah, no, I'll stick to my 1600. Like, I knew better, right? Anyway, so I look forward to actually running a race where I'm, like, eating as much as I should and feeling good and probably having less injuries because of it.
Sure. So now you do a lot of half marathons, I noticed, right? And Brett does them with you, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you guys train together, or are you guys kind of training separately because maybe your hours are differently for work and all that?
Well, we typically do train differently because of that, but also I had not, so around 2020 I quit running because I was really also on this path of finding like what I enjoyed doing in terms of working out, so I started lifting weights a lot more and running a lot less, whereas Brett has kind of kept up with running in some degree. Oh my gosh, this last year he was kicking my butt around the lake. He was doing like a 10-minute mile and I was dying at a 12 and a half minute pace. I'm like, what has happened? Like, he used to want to like run with me, like when he first started. And you know, when you run a pace, it's really hard to slow yourself down or speed yourself up. Like, you kind of got it. And so he finally understood because in those days I was faster than him, but now I'm like, you do you. You run a little faster. I'll do my leisurely 12-minute mile
Sure.
and be done with it. But That's another, I probably will get my speed up again, but.
Yeah, you know. So what was the last one you guys did together then? Was it the Nashville one that you talked about? Okay.
Yeah, but we didn't run that one together either. He PR'd that one.
Yeah, well, he talked about that back about June. Oh, yeah. So yeah, he was talking about how he had a PR and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So was that, it sounded like it was a really fun experience because he said you were going through downtown, right? Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, there were bands set up.
Sweet.
That was one. He was really diligent with his training. I trained up to 5 miles, so I knew, I'm like, this is going to suck, and I just have to accept that.
Yep.
So when we ran it, I just let him do his thing, and it was really hilly also. So my strategy was simply walk uphill, run downhill, walk uphill, run downhill. And I did that the whole 13 miles, and I got done. I think it was like it was after 3 hours. I know it was a long time, okay. But I'm like, eh, whatever. But yeah, he did really well on that one.
Awesome. Which one's been like your fun one that you've done before? Is there one that stands out? Like that one was really cool for whatever reason it could be.
So vacation races, they do half marathons, maybe 5Ks. I can't say for certain, but they do them around national parks or outside of national parks. All of those have been really, really fun with the exception of Joshua Tree because it was in sand. And that was horrific.
Sounds rough.
So not fun. And at night, there were so many bad things about it. But
at night too?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
really?
you start out and the sun's out, so you sweat, but it's the desert, so the sun goes down and then it's freezing, so you're freezing. It was miserable.
Okay.
But it's a good story now. But yeah, the really fun ones have been the ones, like we did one in Glacier National Park. Teton National Park too. That one was just beautiful, just the scenery. I think the most, like, it's really rewarding when you can PR too.
Yeah,
I remember at that time when I did mine was a race that I had incorporated into my training for my full. So at that time Brett, he didn't run anything in that, maybe, I don't know if he did, I shouldn't say he didn't because he might say he did. But I don't remember. And that was really, it's just fun to push yourself and see what you can do. Yeah. You know. But
when you're training, are you doing it on a treadmill or do you go outside or a little bit of both?
Depends on when.
Okay.
I'll train on the treadmill if I have to, but then I'll go outside the second I can.
Okay. Yeah. I always like the lake. It's pretty flat for the most part, but it's got a little bit of up and downs here and there, but I just feel like I'm running somewhere rather than on a treadmill where I'm in one place.
Yeah.
That just seems so, so tough in my mind because of the fact that I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I always liked having that. And then I listen to like a podcast or something like that. What do you listen to? Do you need music or?
Music if I'm on the treadmill, podcast if I'm outside,
okay.
Because there's enough distraction, I think. But when I'm on a treadmill, I have the TV on, I have captions on the TV, I have headphones in, I have music blaring. Like, I also don't look at the clock, like I move my clocks, like I have to disconnect myself as much as possible.
From running, yeah.
If I'm on a treadmill. But outside, podcasts are perfect for it.
Yeah, I love that too, because I'm like, well, I'm going to learn something as I'm running, and then if I can focus on what I'm actually listening to, I'm actually doing really well then too, and I'm kind of taking my mind off the breathing portion.
Yeah.
So I always thought that was a good idea, but I don't really run that much anymore. Like, I like to do the revolving stairs at the gym, and then sometimes I'll go out and run the lake once here and there. It's like, I think it takes me about 35 minutes roughly, is usually somewhere between 30 and 35 minutes to run that. Mm-hmm. So I was always like, this is feels good to do that as well, but then if I can focus on something else, I'm not focusing on my breathing, trying to disconnect like you're saying, because if you really have to love it if you're going to just do this for fun.
And I learned my lesson this last year because I hadn't ran for so long. When I started training for that half last year, I told Brett, I'm like, I am never not running again. Even if, like, now I run 2 times a week on the treadmill for just 30 minutes because I don't want to get out of it again, because it's so hard when you're out of it to get back into it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, like, you'll just have to get through the suck.
Through the suck.
But the middle area doing that is, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No, I totally get it. I totally get it. Now, did you get Brett into running? Did he get into it because of you, or was he already doing it beforehand?
Oh, no, he got into it because of me.
Nah, I mean, I didn't think, that's what I thought.
No, when we first got together, he made it very clear, like, I will never run a half. And that's what I always laugh at him, because I'm like, look at you now. You're running laps around me, Mr. I'm never going to run a half marathon. And because, you know, he liked to do 5Ks, and it was I'm never going to run a half. And now he likes to run halves.
Yeah. So, well, that love will do crazy things.
I guess so. Maybe even drink the shake one day.
Well, you know, at least I can vouch for it now. Has anybody else had this shake before?
No. I told some of my coworkers, sorry, I laughed because I told some of my coworkers last week, and my one coworker was just like, how do you make this stuff up? Like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, excuse you. I'm getting fruits and veggies in right away to start my day.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. No.
See, now, when I'm drinking this, this would take away my sweet tooth, I think, because, like, last night I wanted some ice cream. Went to Dairy Queen, got ice cream. If I had this beforehand, I would not want ice cream right now because it's got enough of the, like, sugar taste that it would just, like, I'll chew gum to get rid of some of that craving of I want some candy or something. Yeah. And gum does that for me. This would do it for me as well.
Ninja Creamy? Invest in one.
What is that?
It's basically an ice cream maker.
Oh.
In fact, I debated about bringing one of those on too today because it makes ice cream and it's super good and you can put anything in it. So I'll use like I actually had one for my second breakfast this morning because it was milk and cottage cheese and protein powder and sprinkles because it was a birthday cake protein powder.
Oh, sure.
So anyway, it's like healthy ice cream that you can make, and you can make sorbet, like fruit sorbet. I'm obsessed with mine. And everything I'm obsessed with is very loud in our house and Brett's not a fan of. So the Ninja Creamy, my blending of this.
Well, you guys finished your basement. Just tell them to go down there and get out of here.
Yeah. I usually bring it down to another room so it's not so loud. But, yeah.
Well, as we're starting to wind down here with the podcast, there's other things that I know you have a lot of interest in. What are some other things? I mean, you guys just came back from vacation, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Orlando. Yep. You went down and watched the PNC Championship again this year.
Yep.
How was that?
Yeah. Oh, that was cool. We watched the Pro-Am both Thursday and Friday. And that's really cool. I'm not a golf watcher on TV. Like, oh my gosh, so boring. But being there in person is actually pretty exciting. Like, it's pretty cool to see Tiger and his son play.
Yeah, that's neat.
Carson Daly walked by us, which apparently nobody even knows who Carson Daly is except for millennials.
Not anymore, I guess.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I said that to some friends of mine. They're like, who? I'm like, oh, it's a millennial thing.
TRL.
Yeah, TRL. So that was pretty cool. But it's, I golf, right? And I'm not good, and I'm okay with that. But watching them swing, I'm like, oh, I'm really not good. Like, their swing. And seeing the mannerisms between, like, the parents and their kids or whatever it may be. Like, John Daly's there too with his son, John Daly the second. And that's really fun to see. Like, he's such a character, like, just smoking a cig, blaring his music.
Is he golfing shoeless too?
No, he had shoes on.
He had shoes on this time.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, it was a really fun time. It was nice.
That's cool. Good.
Charlie had a hole in one yesterday.
I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I was trying to take a nap and Brett started screaming. So.
Tell him I'm going to get the blender out if you don't stop that.
Yeah, I'm going to put the blender on.
But then you guys also went to, you just tell us about a concert a couple weeks ago that you went to. You went to Korn.
Yes.
Love Korn. Is that like your favorite group?
One of my favorites.
One of your favorites? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we listened to like everything. I brought Brett to a Korn concert. He was not excited, but he did fine. the opening acts were Gajaro and Spirit Box, and they were very screamo. Like, even for me, they were a lot, but it was so cool seeing Korn, and I think he has a newfound love.
And then he takes you to the fellow with the cello or something? Or
yeah, Hauser.
Hauser? Mm-hmm. Now, were you ever into that music?
I mean, I like all music.
Sure.
And it's pretty cool to see. I think anything live is pretty cool. And I do like his music, but is it one that I'm like super, you know, like... He's kind of interesting. Like, we've seen Celine Dion also, and she's amazing.
Are a bunch of different genres of music sitting there.
It's what's interesting is almost the people watching you have with the people who go to these concerts. Yeah. Like, the Korn concert, tons of goth people. Like,
They were still goth people there, huh?
Yes.
I thought that maybe wore off.
Oh, no. This was like a younger crowd because we've been to Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson, and that was like... an older crowd, and you know, no one was really just kind of hanging out, but this was a younger crowd, and I think it was because of Spirit Box. They're like a younger genre. Oh,
gotcha.
But yeah, I told Brett, I was just like, look at all these kids, that used to be me, just a weirdo. Sorry, fun fact. Yeah, that was my high school. All of my high school in one concert venue right there.
Nice.
But yeah, it was super fun.
Is there one that you guys have gone to that was really fun or that you've been to just yourself? Is there one that stands out like, this was the best one I've ever been to?
I think Brett would say this too because I've heard him say it, but Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson was the best concert.
No, really?
It was much fun. So I had wanted to see Manson. It was fine. But Rob Zombie was incredible. And that was one where we had seat tickets, and then Brett's like, you want to go on the floor? I'm like, sure. So we got down to the floor, and again, older generation, no mosh pit, nothing crazy. We all just like stood around and were super excited, but I got really, really close to the front and just like screaming my little heart out. And the guitarist in Rob Zombie's band like gave me a pick at the end, and that was so exciting. Like, I loved it. We had such a blast, and I think Brett was really nervous because it's like, I don't know what to expect at a rock concert like this.
Right,
but he had a ton of fun too. And then that was in Iowa of all places, and so we went out afterwards, and just like, all of it was just so fun and different for both of us.
Yeah. But so he thought that was pretty cool after he got through it all. And he's like, this is actually pretty neat.
Yeah. He's like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. But yeah, seeing the folks who like go to Eric Church or Garth Brooks compared to Korn, compared to Hauser. Like, it's very interesting, people watching.
Totally different crowds for sure. You know what I thought you were going to say was Celine Dion, actually. I thought that was the one you were going to say, because I know Brett's always talked it up quite a bit and how it was so good. And I know you were just talking about a couple weeks ago when we went to the Vikings game. You're talking about how Celine Dion was really neat. And my wife's like, I got to see her too at some point in my life. So I assume that was the one you were going to say, not Marilyn Manson.
She was amazing. But they're so different, right?
Yeah, like, right.
That's like, they're really, really good in different ways. And Celine, she was amazing. I remember that was right before we got engaged. And I was like, what if Brett asked me to marry him at the Celine Dion concert? I was like, what if Celine asks me for Brett? And I was just like, got way too into my head about it.
And then nothing happened?
And then nothing happened. Oh. So we always kind of laugh about that, because he's like, oh, here I thought, now I feel bad because I didn't do it there. But
sure.
It was okay.
Well, did you guys get engaged shortly after that then?
Yes, it was literally like the end of the month after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was already probably planning on coming up anyway. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he was, okay, you were expecting him to ask you there.
It's all right. It was still good. It was still good.
Yeah. I remember the photos because weren't you guys hiking or something?
Yeah, we were on a bicycle trip. A bicycle trip with the friends, actually, the couple that we went to the Dominican with, who got married in the Dominican.
Sure.
They were the couple that were on the bicycle ride with us.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of cute.
Well, that's great.
And fun to share that with them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, is there any more that you'd like to add to the podcast? We've been going for about an hour.
Some
more that we haven't talked about that you would like to talk about?
Not that I can think of. I guess if you're interested in learning more about one-on-one nutrition coaching, I do offer just a free 45-minute call with me to get any questions you have answered, if my style works with you, if you're interested on what your goals are, and if I can help you with them. You can simply just reach out to me via Allison Coaches through Instagram, Facebook, or check on my email address, and if you have any questions, just let me know, because there's a no obligation free call to get any questions you may have answered. So,
well, that's awesome. And also, like I said before, look down the show notes, folks, because I'll plug all those things, the Instagram, the Facebook, the website as well, that you can go and talk to Allison if you want to get into some nutrition coaching with her. Sounds like it would be beneficial for literally anyone, from what, because this is the first time I've ever talked to anybody about nutrition coaching. Had no idea about it. That's why I thought it'd be fantastic. And, you know, we're starting off our year here. What better way than to have your New Year's goal than to start off with nutrition?
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like it's cutthroat, you know, like you, maybe some people think like, oh, I got to cut out all this stuff. It's actually more of getting your mindset, right? Sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's great.
It's kind of the bridging the gap between knowing and doing, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right. So
sounds good. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, taking an hour out of your day to come talk about what you're doing, not only on the side, but also some fun things that you guys do, you and your husband. And we're going to have a fantastic new year, hopefully, and keep moving forward with your business. And I'll keep moving forward with the podcast.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Well, for those who are listening, you can watch us if you want on YouTube, or if you can go to any major streaming platform and listen to the podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple. And if you're out there, please give it a subscribe, 5-star rating, comment. If you have questions for Allison, you can comment there, or also check out the show notes. Click on there and I'll take you right to her links. This has been another episode of Brews and Cruise. Happy New Year and cheers.